gathering to these microphones now, longtime friend and a dear man that we so enjoy having conversation with. He's got a political background, an archaeological background. He's been the mayor of the community, the Jewish community where he lives, which has great historic and biblical significance. Of course, we're talking about Israel Madad, former mayor of Shiloh, in the area of Judea and Samaria, location where the Ark of the Covenant rested in a tabernacle for about 350 years. Winky, it's always a joy to talk with you, and I've got to find out, we're talking here in America a lot about Judea and Samaria because we see our president pressing your prime minister to, number one, freeze all construction on the settlements. We want to talk about that in just a moment, but also to ultimately dismantle those settlements. But at the same time, we see a new interest, especially by tourists, pilgrims, Christian pilgrims coming into Israel, wanting to come out, say, to an area of Judea and Samaria, especially to Shiloh, to see where the Ark rested for many, many years. It was the headquarters for the Jewish nation when they came into the Promised Land. Is that the case? Are you seeing an uptick in Jewish and Christian pilgrims wanting to see this site?
Well, Jimmy, the short answer is yes. We're getting literally just a few thousand people a month coming out to the Tell, which is an archaeological mound in which you can see various periods of time. We have three basilicas from the Byzantine period. And so actually we have things that would very specifically interest our Christian visitors here. But I think it's an indication of two different types of people. You know, it used to be that the world was divided between believers and non-believers. But you don't have to be an overtly religious person to know that what we call the biblical story was not something made up 1,000 years ago, but actually happened. I'm not going to go into every single detail, but from the scientific archaeology that we've been working on and all over the land of Israel, and it's not only Jewish archaeologists, it's also Christian archaeologists and others, the history is the history. Now, you can believe in God, or if you don't have that persuasion, that's another thing. But the reality is there. And the deeper message, of course, is that too many people, even those in the White House, Jimmy, do not like to get involved too much in history, but look for the future.
Yeah.
You cannot build a future if you do not at least know and recognize what the past was.
Boy, that is a profound statement and an essential statement in understanding, like you're talking about, what's going to happen in the future. That is a very, very good statement. Keep that in your mind, folks. You've eavesdropped on a very profound statement by our good friend Winky Madad. Well, let's get down to the news business. Speaking of the Jewish settlements, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, seemingly is standing up to the pressure coming from the White House and President Barack Obama. In fact, on his trip into Europe, the first as prime minister this time, he met with Berlusconi over there in Italy, and then he went to meet with Sarkozy in France. The pressure is on him to shut down all Jewish settlement construction, even for normal growth, natural growth. When people are having children, they have to expand the house just a bit to take care of their children. What about it? He said this debate on the settlements is a waste of time. We need to get into the peace process. Do you go along with that, and do you agree that Netanyahu is taking a pretty strong stand and standing against basically world opinion?
Well, Jimmy, if President Obama allows himself to be obstacled over the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, he's falling into a very easy trap that the Arabs and their supporters have laid for him, as they have for many other people. There were no Jewish communities, or as the press prefers to call it, which I don't, settlements, before 1967 in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, and yet there was terror. Some of us with a little bit of white hair can remember it, actually reading about it. And those who open up any sort of Google and put in Arab terror or PLO or Fedayeen will know that that occurred. So obviously, you cannot stop terror if you do not provide the solution. And if you dismantle communities and tell Jews they can't have to stop giving birth and stop constructing homes and industries and schools, that's not the answer. The answer is, are the Arabs going to give up on their animosity and their ideological negativism towards any form of Jewish nationalism, Jewish sovereignty, Jewish independence anywhere in the land of Israel, whether it be little Tel Aviv or big Jerusalem or whatever? And he's got caught up in something which he figures he could, if I can borrow a phrase, slam someone over the head with, but it's not going to get anywhere because, as you and I have discussed on this program several times, if you're going to be logical, and especially a President Obama who comes from a background where race is a very important element in social discourse, if I can't live in Judea and Samaria, in Shiloh, where the prophet Ahiyah and Samuel lived, why can Arabs then live in the state of Israel? It follows, and to my mind, it's very logical. It's not very nice, but I'm not a person not to say something because it isn't nice. And therefore, it leads us into all sorts of problems, and unfortunately, he's going to get caught up again.
Indeed, and it's like going into a discussion that is only one way out, and that is failure, and it's going to be something that he should probably not be involved in. Is there any way that they can back out? It looks like the meeting called off between George Mitchell, who is the U.S. envoy to the Middle East, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, which was to have taken place in Paris, that is even indicating that the divide between the United States and Israel is getting wider. Can they bridge this divide?
Well, I don't know how many people saw a recent cartoon that was published that tells the story exactly. It has a little bit of darkness, and it's headed the 3 a.m. phone call to President Obama. And the first one is that North Korea has set off a missile. And the other one that Iran is doing this. Another one that the Darfur is starving. Another one that this is happening. And he keeps sleeping. And all of a sudden says, the Jews have established another community. And then you see his eyes open wide. I mean, you know, there's a little bit of proportion in foreign affairs, and you just can't shake hands down there with Venezuela or wag your finger. I mean, you know, as we all saw on the YouTube, that's what I saw it anyway, the president could be sort of big on flies, but the real world out there needs a little bit of an understanding, because dictators and people like the Ayatollahs, they don't play by the rules. And so if President Obama thinks that he's working according to the rules, you can find out he's going to lose the ballgame.
Give me about 30 seconds on this, and I'm going to, if you will, allow me to hold you over the break, because I have a couple of more questions. But the Palestinian Authority foreign minister says there will be a Palestinian state within 2 years. The Jewish settlements are the communities that the Jews live in Judea and Samaria, seemingly are the problem. But here, the foreign minister of the Palestinian Authority says, hey, we'll have a Palestinian state within 2 years.
Well, I suggest they get their act together and talk to each other, because Saeb Erekat, who's the chief negotiator and head of the team, said that according to the rules, or let the, shall we say, the framework that Mr. Netanyahu set down, there is not going to be peace for 1,000 years. So I guess we just have to divide 998 years in half, and we probably get an average of what's going to happen.
Very good answer. But there's talk of peace, and of course that's why Barack Obama is saying to the Jewish people, look, the Jewish communities are an impediment to peace. We want to have peace. Meanwhile, Moscow, Medvedev, the president of Russia, was in Cairo, Egypt, earlier this week, meeting with President Mubarak. They talked about a Middle East peace conference to take place in Moscow sometime later this year. What about that? Do you know anything about it? What do you think?
I don't really know that much about it, but it's a repetitive story. And, you know, you say you invite me to the table. Well, let me lay the cards down, okay, Jimmy? Face up, as
I
you
like
say,
it.
Okay? The existence of a Jewish state in the Arab Muslim Middle East is a problem that has nothing to do with Israel with Jews being occupiers or whatever a negative term people can use, and I'm not going to say that we haven't made mistakes during this establishment of the state, to the pre-state period, and afterwards. But the problem is that an irrational, theological-based, shall we say, opposition is at the fundamental root of the problem. And because of the luck of the Arabs in oil and other elements, too much of the world is letting itself be led by concerns and interests that have nothing to do with peace, security, morality, ethics. And since we are talking on a Christian radio station, love, love of man and love of God for man. And we learn to love men because of that divine love that we see. In this reality, in this construct, in this paradigm of what really is happening, you get problems from an American president, a Russian president, European Union, humanists, liberals, progressives, who, from my point of view, are reading things all wrong and too much are willing to kowtow to elements that have nothing to do with peace. There is no other people on the earth, and I think I'm repeating Mr. Netanyahu's speech, who want peace more than the Jewish people. We have suffered too much through history, recently and ancient, and there's no reason for us to be aggressive, for example, towards Iran. We have nothing to do with Iran, and all of a sudden they want to obliterate us and obliterate our history. And then, of course, physically doing something to us. Arab terrorists who could, instead of raising their children to be doctors and lawyers and farmers, are doing the exactly opposite, and it's run with a state-based media who inculcates in them vicious forms of hatred. All this is the reality, and sometimes I am astounded by the inability or the unwillingness of people who normally are rational thinking and good people, basically. It comes to us, it's a different turnabout, and therefore, whatever Russia or Sarkozy from France or Brother Scooney from Italy or Mr. Obama from America, I think they're in the wrong mindset, and I hope that the prophecies that we know are in the Bible will do us in very good stead as we try to deal with the modern world of politics.
Well, you know, with that statement, not a whole lot left for me to ask you about. So let me just I got to squeeze this in, I guess. That was an excellent statement, Winky. But let me ask this. However this situation comes out in Iran, does it matter as far as Israel's concerned? Would Iran still be whoever may become the president? It looks like Ahmadinejad now. We don't know. Mousavi may come to power. It may be a whole revolution. Does it matter? Will Iran still have that same desire, as you just mentioned, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth?
Some of the points that we have seen in the press coming from intelligence agencies, etc., like that, are sort of saying really doesn't make that much of a difference. For me, what is important, and you've heard me say this many times on this program, that peace is between peoples.
Yes.
We have seen in Iran people who have tried, or maybe even are trying, to liberate themselves to the extent that they can, maybe not being an American Western-style democracy, but definitely they don't want to be under the rule of the thumbs of the Khomeini revolutionary guards and Ayatollahs and other people there. If this can happen, if people can meet, then I think we've got a better chance of lowering the tensions and the misunderstandings that exist and meet as people rather than as objects or stereotypes, which too often rules the relations between states and the citizens of those entities. And I think that looking through the various prophets in terms of what God wanted for mankind and for all of human the community, I think we get a better understanding of what peace is supposed to be between peoples.
Absolutely. And if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation that I've been having with Winky Mandad, you understand why we want him to be available when we can get him to have a conversation so that you can understand better what is happening in our world. Winky, thank you so very, very much. Appreciate you being available. We'll talk again in the future, I'm sure. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, Jimmy. Goodbye to you and our listeners.